This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Athena Moberg, who is living her dream through helping other people. Welcome to the show, Athena.
Hey, aloha.
How you doing today out in sunny Hawaii?
I am doing wonderful. I'm on the island of Maui, and I'm definitely, I think, living the dream.
Let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Well, I am 40 years old. I just turned 40 this year. I was a single mom for 17 years, and my son is now 21 years old, and he's married, and he is United States Marine. He's a corporal in the Marine Corps, and just got back from deployment, and he is going to be deploying again, and that's a little bit difficult, that the empty nesting portion of my time just over the past 4 years, and making the choice to pursue my career in speaking and personal development and coaching. That's taken up a lot of my time, and I've got married 3 years ago, so I'm still a newlywed, and I really enjoy living in Hawaii. I love my community, and I stay in pretty close touch with my family as much as possible, and they come to visit me here, and I just actually got back from a trip to the mainland where I was gone for 3 weeks, and we were visiting with family in Minnesota and California, but I absolutely am living my dream here, and I could not be more blessed and grateful, and my ultimate goal and dream, I would say, is just to reach as many people as possible in a way that is significant, that they would walk away changed and equipped to live their lives in a way that they've always wanted to.
Well, first off, thank you for letting your son go into the Marines.
Yeah, thank you.
So what does your dream of helping people mean to you?
Well, my dream of helping people is, it's a lifelong dream, but I wasn't living that dream and I didn't even know it. I was just working a normal job and living here in Hawaii and raising my son. And that was all my focus was about. I was really focused on raising him and making sure that he had everything he needed and that he was equipped to live his life in a way that made a difference. And then when he, somewhere around the time he left for the military, or it could have been when he came back, he walked me down the aisle in his dress blues when I got married. And that was wonderful. But it was either before he left for the military or before he went back that day. And he just said, "Mom, you are living so below your potential. What are you even doing?" And I was so perplexed. I didn't understand. I mean, I had a great job at the Ritz-Carlton. It was steady. I definitely was not in need or want of anything. I, you know, thought I was living the most normal life that I possibly could live. What he really meant was that I have such an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always had a deep desire to reach people on a level that is not just surface, like about the weather. And he could see that it was around that time that I had helped one of my girlfriends start a business, because her husband was diagnosed with cancer and she wanted to turn one of her hobbies into a business. And I helped her with that and sort of coached her along the way and consulted with her and did a lot of marketing work for her. So my son saw that I had this entrepreneurial spirit about me, and yet he saw me just sitting back sort of complacent, working my job and coming home and just having this normal life. So I think it took someone that I respected and loved deeply, my son, pointing out that I was living below my potential before I realized that I had a choice to reach as many people as possible in a way that was significant so they could live their lives in a way that mattered. And it was neat that he saw that in myself, because I didn't see it at the time. I think what it means to me to live out my dream is just to make him proud and to be able to look at myself every day knowing that I devoted as much time as possible to helping other people. And I don't know, that's just something that I'm really passionate about. And I think I started in this line of work or following my passion to learn how to communicate effectively and reach other people. I think I started professionally, at least in that direction, about 14 years ago. So it's definitely been evolving over the last 14 years. And I do have a couple books that are being published. I'm part of an anthology coming out in December, and I have another book that will be published around that time as well. So just enjoy pouring into others and mentoring, and it's just exciting.
Yeah, it's always nice when somebody else can pull something out of you that you didn't really take notice of.
Yeah, definitely. And when it's your child, it's kind of like, oh, wow, I didn't really think of that. And, you know, to some people listening, traditional parent-child relationships, it's not really the child that pulls that out of the parent. A lot of times it's more the parent pulling that out of the child. But my son and I, you know, I mean, I had been encouraging him for so many years to live his dreams and do whatever he could to make a difference and to be all he could possibly be, without sounding like the pun was not intended, you know, be all you can be. But it was neat that he could return that favor and encourage me in an area that I needed to be encouraged and I didn't even know it.
So what would you say inspires you?
What inspires me the most is knowing that I have the ability to reach as many people as I want to, as long as I put in enough time and effort, and that I can share the things that I've learned and the mistakes that I've made and the knowledge that I have consumed, and that could perpetuate. It could be self-perpetuating. If each of us cares enough to learn how to do things well and in a way that is in alignment with our core belief system, then I believe that, like I said earlier off the air, I believe that can change the fabric of our society and our culture. So I think when we do the little things in a big way, as my husband always says, or we find what works and then improve upon it, I think the only possible outcome is that things would improve and get better and that we would be able to reach more people to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe it takes a whole town to raise a child. So it definitely can make a big difference if you affect just one or two or more people.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So how did your dream come about?
Well, it was shortly after the conversation that my son had with me when he told me I was living below my potential. And I decided that I was going to pursue a lifelong goal of mine to become a counselor and perhaps go work at my church or do something to where I could counsel others, because I had been comforted and blessed by someone else's counseling. Like when I needed to go seek out counseling for a situation that I was going through, it was literally life-changing for me. I had never even thought those thoughts before. I had never had someone reach out and connect with me in such an intentional way that was so immediately beneficial in my life. And so I wanted to help someone else in that way. I wanted to make a difference in someone's life to that degree that I did when I reached out and I received counseling back in like 2006, I think it was. So about 8 years ago that happened. And so when my son left for the military and had that conversation with me, I chose to go online and start taking classes to be a counselor. Well, in the meantime, part of my pursuit of my counseling certification was I was going to be able to also receive a coaching certification. Now, counseling and coaching are very different. I know that coaching and life coaching is sort of a woo-woo buzzword, you know, like we were talking about off the air. It can be sort of like a, yeah, you're a life coach. Okay, whatever. But what I learned quickly about studying to get my coaching certification is, to put it simply, if you take someone who is literally not functioning because of a trauma that they have incurred or a situation or a life event, like let's just say someone who has experienced a loss or a death, that person is in a place where they are grieving and they could at any point, whether it be right away or shortly thereafter, become literally unable to function. And so at that point, since they're not functioning, you can't steer a ship that isn't moving, they would probably need to seek out and get some counseling so that they could begin moving again. Well, coaching is different than counseling in that it takes someone who is moving, but they're just a little bit stuck or confused on which way to go, and you help them right their path. Like, you help them get past limiting beliefs, or you stand by their side and walk through a situation with them because they are wanting to perform in a way and to a degree that they cannot do without you. Like, I think of Olympians. You wouldn't catch the ice skaters like Meryl and Charlie, who skated for the US. You wouldn't catch them going to the Olympics without a coach. They wouldn't be like, oh, you want to coach me? Yeah, it's cool. We got this. Like, we don't really need a coach. We're going to perform just fine without a coach. Like, they know that if they have a coach by their side pushing them and encouraging them and helping them see themselves differently and pushing them beyond their limits, that they're going to perform better. So counseling, which is what I really wanted to do, I thought, was taking someone who's literally not functioning and completely broken for whatever reason and helping them to begin moving again. To what degree is unknown, because your only job as a counselor is to help someone get past the point of being completely stuck. Now, coaching, what I've been learning over the years now, is taking someone who is moving in a direction that isn't perhaps the direction they want to be moving in, and you stand by their side and you root them on and you cheer them on and you help them see themselves differently and perform in a way that they never could perform before without you being there, because you see them differently than they see themselves, and you encourage them and you change the trajectory of their life completely because you're imparting knowledge and encouraging them to be incredible instead of just functioning. So I've chosen coaching as a method to reach other people. And I've been blessed with a platform to speak publicly at. I've had several speaking engagements at different conferences and events and entrepreneur groups or meetings, or I've even gotten to speak at a school or at a church. And I have podcasts, and I've gotten to do videos and do some business and lifestyle vlogging. And so I think my dream in its ultimate phase would be to do more of that and to reach as many people as possible. And whether that's through YouTube vlogging or blogging on my website or guest blogging for other people or being interviewed on podcasts such as yours. Who knows who's listening to this podcast? I mean, you've been on New and Noteworthy for a while now. You have over 10,000 downloads and you're becoming popular and mainstream. And who knows who's going to hear this and go, you know what? Yeah, I really resonate with that girl or whatever, you know? So sometimes I get a little overwhelmed by the magnitude of my dream because I feel like it might be a little huge, like Oprah, like I mentioned to you off the air. But in all reality, one of my favorite quotes in the whole world, ironically, is from Oprah. And she was terrified when she was younger and very self-conscious about her weight. And she said that she almost didn't move forward in her career because she thought in her mind, what are people going to think? They're probably going to think something like, who does she think she is? And then the second part of her quote is, but now I stand here and I say, this is who I am. And it's like, that is so powerful for me because I am that beginning stages of where she was at. You know, I am a little self-conscious about my weight. And I do think, hey, people are probably going to think, who does she think she is? And I can't wait for the day when I can go, you know what? This is who I am, and just not even care and just reach as many people as possible. And maybe that will happen when my books are published, or maybe it won't. I don't know. But the journey has been incredible. So
that is a really powerful quote. I mean, and it's tough because it is Oprah. Right? You know, it's coming after the fact. It's not like she said that before the fact. But, you know, with that said, she made it. You know, she did make it happen. And there's no knocking that. And she's helped a lot of people along the way.
She has.
When you were going to start life coaching, how was it received by your family?
Well, interestingly, I had a very small group of people that I consider to be like my inner circle or whatever. And they would cheer me on and ask me how I was doing and ask me about the classes I was taking or my certification. But my family, for the most part, they're all from a different generation where I think, as you and I were discussing off the air, like They believe in longevity and having one job and having a pension, retiring, and, you know, putting in your time. And when you're 60, 65, you get to stop and you get to enjoy life. And that's just not the reality that I live in right now. It's 2014, and who knows what's going to happen with pensions or Social Security or anything. And I think that for the most part, my family doesn't really understand what it is that I do. They don't understand that it's possible for me to have a business where the clients I help live all over the world and not just here on the island I live on, where I show up at an office every day and I meet face to face with people. I run my business from my laptop. I am location independent. I have one-on-one coaching sessions. I speak to groups of people. I record audio and video, and I write materials that get transmitted through the internet to as many people that as I would like to receive them. And for them to think about that and to understand that I can receive funds transferred into my bank account remotely from a computer. Some of my family members are afraid to touch certain keys on the keypad because they think that their computer is going to crash. So I wouldn't say that my career has been embraced or understood by the majority of my family, but my cousin's pretty awesome and she gets it. So that's been nice. And my son gets it.
So what steps did you take to get started once you decide that you were going to become a life coach?
Well, interestingly, I started with counseling and I was studying to get my counseling certification. And my in-laws at the time, they're elderly. They're in their 80s. They're 85 and 87. At the time, they came to spend the winter with us since they're from Minnesota and you being in the upper Northeast know how cold it is in the winter. So they came to stay in our downstairs area for a few months during the winter, and they had been coming to Maui for 37 years every winter to get away from the bitter cold of Minnesota. And while they were here, there were some health concerns and some needs, and I spent a lot of my time hanging out with them, and I don't want to say caregiving, but I definitely, you know, I was going to school at the time from home. And while I was working full time as well, and it just got to be a little bit too much for me to handle. So I sort of stepped away from my counseling studies and continued on with studying for my coaching, because for some reason, it was easier for me to grasp. It was, for some reason, my brain works more in a coaching capacity than it does in a counseling capacity. Like, I know that people that are completely immobilized from a situation and need help so that they can function, I'm able to help them through those things. But I think what I loved more was studying how to help people reach their goals and live their lives in a way that was amazing and not just moving forward since they were completely caught off guard or hit broadside by a situation. So I think that since it was not the path of least resistance, but I grasped the content more and took it in and rattled it around, and it made so much sense to me that I just continued to study and decided to do all I could do as quickly as possible to get my certification. And while I was doing that, I was still working full time for the Ritz-Carlton and, you know, coaching people and mentoring them on the side. And I'm part of a mentor, woman-to-woman mentoring program at my church, and I really love mentoring others. And people seek me out just randomly and ask for advice and mentoring. So I feel like that's something that comes easy to me. Mentoring others comes easy to me. It's something that I naturally love to do, and other people seek me out for that purpose. So I feel like I'm not necessarily learning or becoming, but rather uncovering. I learned that phrase from a podcaster by the name of Megan Pangan, and she said it so perfectly, and that is, you know, when you are walking in what it is you're supposed to be doing, it's not that you're becoming anything. It's more like you're uncovering. I think that is just so perfectly said. You know, you kind of know that you're doing what you're supposed to do when it feels more like you're uncovering who you really are rather than becoming who you want to be.
So what roadblocks have you hit along the way?
Ooh. I think the biggest roadblocks I have hit are my own limiting beliefs. I definitely wasn't raised in an environment where I felt encouraged, and perhaps my family felt like they were encouraging me in their own way or the only way they knew how, but I didn't feel encouraged and I didn't feel like I could be anything I wanted to be no matter what. Like, that wasn't a belief that I had about myself. I feel like the biggest roadblocks have been what I call people pleaseritis. And that is being concerned about what other people think about what I'm doing because I'm not embraced by my entire family of like, you know, I don't, it's not like I get the phone call or the email, like, you know, how's everything going with your podcast? And, you know, what's going on with your YouTube blogging? And how's your life coaching practice going? I hope all is going well. We really believe in you and we're really proud of you. Like, that's not the, in my, as I even say those words out loud, they sound like very normal words that you would say to someone and very respectful and encouraging words. But those aren't words that I receive from others in my family. It's more like, how's that little internet thing going? Or, you know, that little radio thing you do, like, how's that going? And there's just not, I think that I have lived most of my life way too concerned about what my family thinks of me when they probably don't even think twice about it, you know? So I think those are the major roadblocks, just people pleaseritis, wanting to please people that I shouldn't be worried about.
How do you work to overcome that?
A lot of prayer. I'm pretty rock solid in my faith and just my core beliefs. I need to just trust that I was made this way so that I could reach other people and that I have gifts and talents to share and they matter. And that's how I get past it.
So has there been any disappointments with your dream so far?
I don't know if I've had disappointments. I think my only disappointment is that for some reason, part of my whole people pleaseritis thing where I'm worried about what my family thinks of me, I think I automatically think that they understand and they get it. I think I'm disappointed in the fact that they don't. I wish they did. I wish they understood my dreams and my goals. And I wish they would cheer me on and be excited for me that I'm reaching so many people with a message that does help people to see themselves differently and live their lives in a way that is significant and help change that fabric of our culture and make a huge difference. But again, that's pretty short-sighted on my part to think that, you know, they have time to even learn about what it is that I'm doing. You know, I know that they're probably all really busy, but that's probably the only disappointment I've had, having those wishes sort of go by the wayside. But my son and my daughter-in-law are my biggest cheerleaders other than my husband. They get it. They're like, we're so proud of you. We just listened to your podcast. We heard you got interviewed on this podcast and it was awesome. We just got done listening to it, you know, or we saw your videos. You're doing so good. And wow, I learned a lot from that video and I really needed to hear those things. And so it's really awesome. I think my listeners and my viewers and my readers are what completely make it worth it. And they counteract any type of, you know, disappointment that I might feel from other people that don't get it. I think the positive response I get far outweighs the other. So I'm grateful.
You know, somebody once told me that it's people are so wrapped up in what's going on with their lives that getting involved with other people's lives is such a distant thought.
I think I believe that.
Yeah. I mean, you want to think that people are interested and constantly wanting to be engaged, but most people are just too wrapped up in what they got going on.
How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? What you just said? Because I agree that that's how society is, but what's your opinion?
You know, when you look at Facebook, it's easy to see why that's true. And it's easy to see when you post something and people might not like it or comment back on it. And it's like, you know, well, you don't even know if anybody even seen it because Facebook takes care of itself. Yeah. You know, it takes care of its own in its own way. So I don't know. Sometimes the dumbest things get shared. And I wish people shared what mattered, like what really mattered in life. In fact, that's one of the things that I hashtag share what matters quite often, things that actually matter and not just dumb videos of people doing dumb things.
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree with you.
I don't know if that really answered the question, but
no, I think it does. I think that far too often social media and the media, the mainstream media, which it's hilarious that we're still even, I think there's going to come a time very soon when we don't even specify, because the media is just going to be the media, the media, the media. It's not going to be, you know, social media or mainstream media. Social media is becoming mainstream media. So I think that it is sad that the media focuses on the random or the, like you said, sharing dumb videos about people doing dumb things. But I think the coolest thing that I can say is that every day I feel like I am doing my part and doing my best in being a part of what matters. And that's the biggest, that's the greatest joy for me in this line of work that I get to do. One of the things that I'm really about is living above mediocrity, and my podcast will really focus on that. I'm going to send you some links, but I feel like their living above mediocrity is very simple, even though it's not easy. And I feel like it can be broken down into five simple areas. And this is the meat of what it is that is my dream that I want to reach people with. And it's not popular, but it matters. I feel like the daily choices that people make, if they just made a couple tweaks to the choices that they make on a daily basis, that there would be more people out there sharing what mattered and fewer people focusing on the dumb stuff. And the five areas that I feel are the most profound or the most important are attitude, obviously. What type of attitude are we going into the day with? How do we handle our children? What's the attitude we have towards our job or towards our neighbors, towards ourselves? And do we have an attitude of gratitude? And the second area is listening. How good of a listener are we choosing to be? Are we fully engaged listeners, or are we distracted? Are we all standing in a big circle staring at our phones, checking our Facebook status and tweeting and seeing what's up on Instagram and shooting a Vine video of something or sending a Snapchat? And it's like, if you're really fully engaged, which is pretty rare these days, but the quality of your relationships and the quality of work that you do and the quality of time you spend with those around you, whether it be your children or your coworkers, it's drastically improved. It's incredible. And then the third area is just being other-centered rather than self-centered and really focusing on other-centered communication and not making it all about me, 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 me. And here I am on a podcast doing nothing but talking about myself, but so it's rather ironic. but I do feel like the message of really focusing on being other-centered rather than self-centered is a message that people don't want to hear. It's not popular, but it makes you think. And then the fourth area of the five is the choices that we make on a daily basis. Who do they honor? Like, are you making choices every day that honor others? Are you making choices that honor God or your higher power, whoever that may be? And are the choices you're making honoring yourself? And what I mean by that is, like, are you creating margin in your life so that you're not rushing around? Do you have time, like you were sharing with me, to like sit on the porch with your neighbors and talk? Or are you rushing from place to place and thing to thing? And do you have healthy boundaries with people? Like, is your, you know, do you have, make your yay, yay and your nay, nay, so to speak? Like, do you allow people to dominate your time or treat you in a way that's not fair or not right? Or do you have healthy boundaries with those people and just let them know, hey, you know, I would prefer if you didn't speak that way to me about me, or I would, you know, if you continue to do that, then I will need to not have this conversation with you anymore. We'll need to come back to this conversation, like really making choices that honor not only God or your higher power and others, but really honor yourself as well. And then the last area that I feel is really important is seeking to add value to the people and situations around you rather than being a taker, like being a giver more than a taker. You know, how did you add value to that meeting you went to or that conversation you had or the time you shared with someone? Or did you just show up to sort of like see what you could get? So anyhow, that's pretty much my life's work and like what I'm excited to share and topics that I speak on when I get to speak. And a lot of what I just shared with you is being published, and I cannot wait to share it with more people. And I'm just hoping that even though it's not popular because it's not what people want to hear, I really just hope they take it to heart and maybe let it rattle around in their hearts and minds for a while. you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great list of things that people could use to better not only themselves, but their community and the people around them. And I would think that if people followed that more people will want to be around you and want to hear what you not just only have to say, but, you know, do things too.
Yeah, that's my hope. That's my greatest goal.
So if you were able to have a mentor session, like one afternoon with someone who's living or deceased, who would you want that person to be?
Oh, wow. Gosh. I have so many mentors and people that I look up to, and I have to pick just one. Probably, I guess, modern day, maybe Brené Brown. Brené Brown is a researcher, and she spends the majority of her time doing shame research. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to research, but yeah, she, her job is to research shame. And 100% of the population feels shame, but they process it differently and it shows up in different areas of their lives. But anyway, she uses what she finds to help people live wholehearted lives and live lives that are meaningful and peaceful and joyful. And I think that the work she does, and she's best known for the TED Talk that she gave a few years back, I think it on the topic of vulnerability. And just how powerful vulnerability is when you allow yourself to be vulnerable around others and you be transparent instead of being disingenuous and false, just what changes in you and what changes in the immediate area around you is so significant that you have no choice but to be vulnerable more because the benefits are so great. So I guess I would want to sit with Brené Brown because I have a lot of respect for the work that she does and the people she reaches.
You know, I mean, we're built to live a life of shame, you know, everything from our bodies to how we think. I mean, everything from birth is all about shame. And it is a shame that it is like that.
It is a shame. I think that's why I'm such a big fan of her work, because what she does is she reverse engineers it. And she uses what she learned after years and years and years of researching shame. And she has taken the results of that research and qualified it and quantified it in such a way that she has found out the people that are out there living wholehearted lives that are filled with joy and a very minimal amount of shame. She reverse engineers it. It almost gives you a formula of, like, if you don't want to live a life that's filled with shame and disappointment, then these are the things, these are the choices you can make. So I'm a huge fan of that, because shame is a natural thing. Everybody feels it. And if you can actually find a way to feel less of that and to live a life that is full and joyful and incredible and pouring into others, then gosh, sign me up, you know?
So could you share a favorite memory?
Ooh, I would say one of my favorite memories is attending my son's wedding. It was wonderful. It was such a privilege to be sitting in the front row and watching him exchange vows, and just the smile on his face and his beautiful bride. And I got to be there with my family, and it was wonderful. And I mean, and my wedding was incredible as well. And he walked me down the aisle when I got married in his dress blues. So that was amazing. But just seeing him give his life to his wife and her the same, and just the hope that they have and the joy. It was wonderful to be a part of that.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
My dreams for the future are to continue to publish content, audio, video, and written, that will reach as many people as possible so they can live lives that matter and help reach the next generation. And hopefully they'll respond in like and continue to reach generations after them. So whether that is continuing to speak at conferences and women's events or schools, or being interviewed on awesome podcasts like yours, or recording videos, just sharing a positive message with others. That's what I want to do. And I want to be paid to do it. I want to earn an income that helps support my household. And I want to travel and spend as much time with my husband as possible and family. And so far I'm doing well. I'm living a dream.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yes, I would like for anyone listening who is struggling with anything, whether it be confidence or self-esteem or struggles at work or feeling bogged down by the day-to-day activities and pressures of life, I think I would just like to share with them that it's temporary and it's brief. And even though it feels overwhelming now, it's definitely going to get better. And you can always reach out to someone who has been through horrific circumstances that will listen to you and understand. And even if they don't understand, they'll listen, and they'll listen wholeheartedly because they care. And I'm definitely one of those people. So if that's you and you don't even think you have anybody else you want to reach out to or that would listen, then you can definitely reach out to me.
And how can people connect with you?
Well, I think that I'm probably on Twitter the most, and I'm on Instagram. And my Twitter and Instagram handle is at Athena Moberg. That's AthenaMoberg. I can also be reached on Facebook at Athena Moberg fan page. My website is athenamoberg.com. I record business tutorial videos for Rich Mom University. I'm a Rich Mom affiliate. I love doing that. It is so fun. They're very silly videos, but they always have a instructional sort of education base about them. And my YouTube channel is Athena Moberg TV. So I'll be uploading more videos there soon. And hopefully by the time this podcast airs, I will be able to have a link below to iTunes and Stitcher for my podcast.
Yeah, I will have all them in the show notes at howtodream.co. And I would love to have you on again in about a year and follow up on how things have been going for you.
I would absolutely love that. And it's just been a pleasure being on your podcast and being your guest. And this is so great. I'm excited for your dreams to reach other people and to help them realize their dreams. And I would love to just keep in touch with you and see how everything's going for you and even just bounce ideas off of one another. I think there's such value in that.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. I'll definitely be in touch.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Athena. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe. This has been really incredible. I've really enjoyed getting to know you on and off the air.
Likewise.
I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.